delighted to be joined on the phone now by Irish author Paddy Kelly. Good afternoon, Paddy.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you keeping?
I'm not too bad at all, sir. Now, I'm looking forward to this. A man after my own heart, books for Christmas. I've always been in favour of the concept. But before we talk to you about that, just tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, what can I tell you? I'm not sure where to start. I travelled for about 27, 30 years around the world. Lived in the States, did a degree, had a scholarship for athletics. Left here when I was quite young. Not sure what else I can tell you. I've been writing for the last 12 years.
I was just about to ask you that. How did you get the writing book?
I was in the American Forces. How I paid for university or finished paying for university was the American Forces used to pay the military. So I joined the Navy back during Vietnam. And after the war, they paid my scholarship. But during the time I was in the military, there was a Marine friend of mine. And we were in Iceland, and there was a volcano erupted out there. And we were in a kind of a hairy situation there for two or three nights overnight, didn't know if we were going to get out of it. So we started making jokes to cheer ourselves up. And there used to be a column in the American papers called Dear Abby. And people would write in and tell her about their sob stories, this, and the other thing. And so we wrote jokingly, we threw together a letter to her. And when we get out of the situation, we mailed it to her. And she actually wrote back. And she thought that was pretty amusing. So anyway, I just found out that I could write and put things together. So
you are a well-known published author. How many books have you published at this stage?
Books, I have 12. Novels are 8. The 9th is coming out in February.
Excellent. And is that the Galileo project?
No, the new one's coming out is called The Broad and the Kimono, and it's the last in the trilogy of the Operation Underworld series.
Okay. So which was the first one then?
The very first book was Operation Underworld, and that told the story of how the U.S. Navy hired or joined forces with the New York Mafia to guard the waterfront during the Second War, to guard against German saboteurs, because it was just after Pearl Harbor, and so the Yanks thought they might get hit by the Germans on the East Coast.
So it's obviously based on fact then?
It's all factual. There's a fictitious protagonist that takes it. There's a certain kind of writing where you create a fictitious protag, but he doesn't affect the story or the historical fact.
Right.
Takes you through the story.
Ah, sounds absolutely fascinating. Okay, so we'll go on to books for children and for Christmas, but basically any time of the year, I guess. But tell us your involvement in this.
Did you say books for children?
Yeah. Sorry, books for Christmas for children.
Oh, Christmas, yeah. Well, I haven't written any children's books. But the press release for Christmas is for the Galileo project that you earlier mentioned.
Yes. But actually, I have it in the paperwork here that you're a protagonist for giving books to kids for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a joint operation here with the Dublin Library, and we gave them a bunch of books to give away for gifts, etc., etc. And we were trying to promote it to give to children to get them to read.
Oh, I'm a lifelong reader and a lifelong believer in giving books, specifically at Christmas. But I mean, for birthdays, any time of the year as well.
Any time. Oh, yeah, certainly push it year round because you have to start them young, as you know yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You have to form the habit, and when they get into the habit, then they'll stick with it, as I did. My father and or mother, neither of them graduated secondary school, finished secondary school. And but my father always had a book in his pocket. And when I was 12, he started making me read the classics. And from that point on, I became interested in literature.
Yeah, because I remember when I was a kid, there used to be a series. I can't remember exactly what they were called now. But basically, they were the old adventure stories and the classics like Alexandre Dumas and books like that. Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens. And they were all specially edited and bound together for kids.
Kids, that's right, yes.
And absolutely fabulous stories. I grew up on them. They were just wonderful stuff. And I think it was when I first became an uncle at 13. And I think immediately on becoming an uncle to initially, two girls, then two boys, and then another two girls, I always bought them books for birthdays and Christmas.
Same here. I have 8 siblings, and they're all married with children, and I am an uncle 28 times over.
Oh, yeah, a bit more than me, but I could have you beat there. I'm about to become a great-great-uncle in February.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
Right, so if we get back to the Galileo project, you said this is the third in the series.
No, the book that's coming out in...
I beg your pardon. So where does the Galileo project fit in then?
Yeah, Galileo project is the first attempt at a techno thriller, and I spurred the idea when I was interviewing the president of the European Space Agency a few years back, and he was talking to me about some things that were going on with the Galileo project, which is a group of satellites which are superior to the GPS. They're similar to GPS, they do the same function, etc., but they have more satellites, they're more accurate, etc., etc. Well, apparently some American people under Obama were over here trying to discourage the Europeans from launching the last few satellites because they were afraid of the effect on the GPS. So the wheel started turning, and then I remember back in 1999 we had the Y2K scare. Do you remember that, the Y2K?
I remember that well. Actually, I used to work in IT, so I was heavily involved in projects on that at the time.
So you know about it, yes.
Yeah.
It heavily involves the Y2K acts as the inciting incident in 99, December 99. And the story shoots forward to present day, now this month actually. And what happens is I got the idea that during the Y2K, I read an article in the newspaper saying that New York and London banks, some of them, had stashed billions in cash in armored cars around the city overnight in the event that the computers failed and they couldn't open the vaults the next day. So I thought to myself, what happens if one of those didn't come back? And so I got the idea for the story. And in my story, it takes one is missing, one doesn't come back. And then 20 years later, they find it, but it's still full of the money. It's still full of cash.
Sounds like an absolutely fascinating story. So give us a bit more detail without actually giving away too much.
Oh, no spoilers. Yeah, it bounces between New York and London, and it involves a New York City homicide detective and a Scotland Yard fella who's got one leg in retirement and really doesn't care about too much, so he's pretty annoyed at having to do this assignment. But then they accidentally find the van, and he gets sucked into it, which he's not really excited about. But they find the van. It has the money, but the two guards are still missing. They don't find either of the guards. And then there's something else missing from the van, but they don't know what it is. There was a prototype on the dashboard of the van that was some kind of technological thing that they don't know what it was, some gizmo. So they have to track it down, basically.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, that's on my Christmas list then, please. So whoever's listening out there, I want the Galileo project for Christmas. And it sounds like just a fascinating story. And obviously, you said you got this from the Galileo, you know, from the Galileo project itself. But I mean, where do you generally get your ideas from?
They come from various places, but I keep a thing called a writer's morgue, which the old 1930s and 40s journalists used to do. And they would get ideas or find things about the gangsters or something, and they'd throw it into a file. And then they'd go back and research it when another story appeared, and then they'd kind of tie them together.
So, oh, okay.
I've been a writer's morgue for 15 years now.
Yeah. So just before we go, could we talk just for a few brief seconds about American politics for a second? So, I mean, are you living in Ireland now, or are you still based in the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm in Dublin.
Yeah, you're in Dublin. But what is your take on the current mess that is U.S. politics?
The two or three things I find fascinating is that the broken system in America almost parallels the British system.
I agree entirely there.
And I'm playing with some ideas. I've written two political black comedies, actually. Politically Erect and is a black comedy about my experience during Vietnam. And the other one is American Rhetoric, about a factory worker, a low-down factory worker, 50 years in the future, who files the wrong paperwork at the Department of Motor Vehicles and accidentally becomes president.
I love that. Oh, that is wonderful.
The synopsis for all the books and all the books, the details about them are online on Paddy Kelly Writer.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Hang on a second now. I've got that here somewhere. Yes, it's paddykellywriter.com. You find all the information there for Paddy's books. And they sound absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Paddy.
Hey, I really appreciate the call. And you have a happy Christmas.
And you too. And enjoy, I suppose you'll be in Dublin for Christmas, will you?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Well, enjoy Dublin for Christmas and Happy New Year and best of luck with the Galileo project and the third installment for your series.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Take care. Bye-bye.